This is Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use. I'm Levi, and with me is John, and Travis is off for today, so he's not with us. Today, we're going to be talking about a little bit of a dark topic. About 3 weeks ago, I was sitting, and before I go to bed, I often watch a little Netflix, catch up on my Netflix before I go to sleep. And I was sitting in bed looking for something to watch because I had completed my last hoorah of show. And I was looking. So I went on, and you know how Netflix, it has like that, like, here's the top 10.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It gives you like what's popular now or whatever.
And so I look, and the number one streaming show at the time was Dahmer. You know, a monster or whatever it's called. And I was like, okay, well, I know Jeffrey Dahmer. I know that story. I remember that stuff going on. He was one of Wisconsin's most prolific serial killers back in the 90s. So I thought, well, how bad can this be? There's some really great actors in this, and I'm going to take a look and watch it.
Yeah, sure.
I will tell you, it is super dark, and I had some weird dreams after that thing. And Dahmer, he's down in the Milwaukee area. He kills a bunch of people, and there is some other things that he does that's pretty horrific in all of that. And the darkness of the crimes just like almost put me in like a mini depression, and it messed up my sleep for a while. And at the kind of the end of the story, and you've seen it, right?
Yep. I've watched it.
Yeah. How would you describe it?
Yeah. Well, surprising in some ways. I mean, you're right. It's very dark. And it's one of these, sometimes I see things like, I watch things like this and I go, well, there's some redemptive quality to this thing I just watched, but I don't think I can recommend it. And that's kind of how I watched this thing and I went, this is not something that everybody should watch, probably.
Especially don't watch it with your kids.
No, you know, absolutely not. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, surprised by especially the end.
Yeah.
When it talks about his time in prison and some things that came along with that I think we're going to get into.
Yeah, so it jumps back and forth throughout his life and just some weird things that happened to him when he's a kid. And
yeah, it kind of does like a little bit of a, I don't know if this is what they intended, but it's kind of giving some background as to why he is the way that he is, or was the way that he was.
Yeah.
Which is interesting to see their take on what are the things that contributed to this guy being who he was.
And then it gets kind of into like he's now an adult living in Milwaukee and then the actual crimes taking place, like the first one and then following that through. And that part, it's a 10-part series, I think.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, like those middle ones are you feel like you gotta go and take a shower. You just feel dirty after those things. But it's in the last episode, there is this part that just ruined me. And what happens is Jeffrey Dahmer is in prison, he's caught, and he begins to meet with this pastor, and he accepts Christ and is baptized. And my initial reaction to this is no way.
Mm-hmm.
No way.
Mm-hmm.
That's not possible. He's accepting Christ to get pardoned or paroled or something. But then I started thinking about that. I'm like, wait, I think he had like 16 life sentences. It totaled like 941 years.
Oh, yeah.
It was like he was never getting out.
Right.
And so I'm like, okay, well, that's not it. And my head's doing this like really quick. It's not like, you know, I'm not sitting pondering, but I'm like, okay, well, there's no way that God could forgive this guy. What he did was so horrific.
Yeah.
And in an instant, and this is what ruined me, I went, whoa, that's not right. See, I think what my heart was doing in that moment was telling me that God is not capable of covering that big of a sin. And then, you know, the gospel of grace is only good for, you know, good boys and girls like you and I, right?
That's
like,
right. That's right. It's for small sins.
Small
sins. Like lying and cheating.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah. It's not for killing people. And so I went, okay, well, that's not right. Well, then I went, oh, the pastor must be one of these weirdo guys, right? Like, and he just did this. He convinced him so that the pastor could be famous. Well, I got this guy saved. And you know, he could go on speaking tours and writing books.
Yeah.
And so I kind of became a little bit fixated on the pastor a little bit.
I was the same way when it got to that part. And I also was kind of like, how did I not ever hear? I had never heard anything about any kind of prison confession, or not confession, but conversion.
Conversion, yeah.
Never heard anything about that. And I've heard some things about this story, and I'm just surprised I never heard that. And then I also, as a pastor, I went, what would I do if I got that phone call?
Right, like that you have to go.
What do I do with that? You know, there's a level where I go, well, I'd probably be okay with doing that, but you'd also have to weigh in there, what would my congregation think about this? You know, at that time, I mean, this thing was all over the news.
Mm-hmm.
And it was unique because compared to some other serial killers, there was no like manhunt going on. There was no, hey, everybody lock your doors because something's happening around here. I mean, because of some of the circumstances, the police didn't know they were looking for a Jeffrey Dahmer. They just happened to find him, which is another part. So the news was sort of like, just how do we, the country really, as I heard, I was too young to remember, but it sounds like there was a lot of people going, what happened here? Like, this is rocking people. So anyway, I was surprised that I hadn't heard that part of the story. And it just made me question, like, what would I do if I was that pastor?
Well, when I become kind of like, my mind becomes fixated on something, yeah, I have to like absorb the information.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started to look up this guy, and I got his name, Roy Ratcliffe. Ratcliffe,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
And so I just began to read anything I could about him, and I found out that he wrote a book about this.
Mm-hmm.
And about his experience. It's called Dark Journey, Deep Grace.
Yeah.
And so I didn't read the whole book, but I read the kind of the cliff notes of the book.
Mm-hmm.
It was fascinating. And you've probably read now because you order it on Kindle?
Yeah, I picked it up, read it on Kindle, and I got about halfway through it. So
yeah.
Yeah.
In, you know, I think one of the things that I was always, I'm like, this can't be a real conversion.
Mm-hmm.
There's just no way, right? Like, there's no way. And yet, in his writing, he describes Dahmer as going, I can't believe that God's grace is for me.
Yeah.
Because if you watch the show, and I'm going to ruin something, so put your earmuffs on if you're going to watch this, Dahmer knew that it was wrong.
Yeah.
And he said it was wrong. And he's like, I'm not like these other guys saying that I'm innocent. I did it and I deserve, I wish we had the death penalty here.
Yeah.
And so he understood the weight of what he had did.
Mm-hmm.
And so in his writings, though, he talks about how Dahmer's having a real big issue with this whole idea of grace. And could it be for him? And he writes this. This is from the book. It says, Ratcliffe wrote, Jeff was a sinner. His life proves there are no limits to our capacity to sin or to be cruel to other people. We are all candidates for murder and mayhem. It doesn't take crazy people to do such things. That's another thing in the show, is they're trying to try him that he's insane. And he's right. Like, no, I'm not insane. I knew what I was doing. Yeah. I knew it was wrong. He goes on. He says, I believe any of us, and this is tough. He says, we are all candidates for murder and mayhem. It doesn't take a crazy people to do such things. I believe any of us are capable of everything Jeff did if we leave God out of our lives. That's a scary thought that may be hard for us to swallow. Perhaps without God, we wouldn't become murderers. But who knows what our sinful natures are capable of? Praise God that he redeems us from this life of sin and working only to please our sinful nature. That just ruined me.
Right.
Because it brought so many questions up for me in that moment. The first question that I have is, do I actually believe good boy Levi has a sinful nature that is capable of murder and mayhem?
Yeah.
And how you answer that question really actually, I think, is an understanding of the depravity of humanity.
Right. Because we often, you know, you hear about these people like Jeffrey Dahmer, or, you know, you can go some of the worst dictators in history, you know, Hitler and stuff. And we go, well, they're monsters. You know, yeah. We use that. They're monsters.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I, you shared that quote with me and I was like, yeah, this is something that we really have to think about, because we can trick ourselves into thinking, especially with the attitude like, well, they're monsters. They're different than me. I'm not a monster. Well, actually, they're the same as us. They have the same sin that's at the core of what leads them to do the things that they did.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think every sin is actually the same in the sense of like how we are punished
for it.
Unless you're talking about the standard of God.
Mm-hmm.
And all sin is like you're walking and trying to get in front of God, and all sin is looked at in the same way.
Yeah.
But even the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill, I think is kind of a bad thing, you know, obviously. But for me, that whole thing of, am I capable of doing such a thing? And I think I have to answer that, left to my own demise, yes.
Yeah.
And then the next question came out for me is, again, it's rooted in this idea of that I think that the grace of God is only for good boys and good little girls, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do I actually believe in the power of God to change a man's heart or a person's heart?
Right. I mean, another way to phrase that question is, do I believe that God's grace is powerful enough to cover those things?
Right.
Or is it just for small little sins from good little boys and girls?
Well, because it's heart change, right?
Yeah.
Was Jeffrey Dahmer's heart changed in that moment? You know, I don't know the answer exactly to that, but I do know that that's what the Bible actually speaks of.
Yeah.
And I think farther down in the book, he talks about if God's grace isn't enough for Jeffrey Dahmer, then God's grace isn't enough for me.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it like ruined me. Like I was like, oh man, I'm so arrogant that I think somehow that I can earn my way to God. And the biblical story isn't that at all.
Yeah.
The biblical story is God goes, you can't be good enough. I'm going to come to earth, God in the bod, whose name is Jesus.
Yep.
And he comes and he says, I'm not asking you to work your way to me. I'm going to work my way to you. And it just gave me this appreciation for God's grace, not only for Jeffrey Dahmer, but also for me.
Yeah. And it makes me wonder too, you know, you talk about Jesus being sent as God in the bod. I love that. And you know, when Jesus came, he comes and really sort of ups the ante. You know, if we're talking about rules and we're talking about the things that we're not supposed to do, Jesus comes and says, okay, there's this famous section in Matthew 5 where Jesus is kind of going, you've heard it said that this is the rule, but I'm telling you, you know, actually, it's harder than you think. And so for an example of this that goes along with what we're talking about, in verse 21 in chapter 5, he says, you have heard it said to people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment.
Is that the Raka Ooh, passage?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the way I've heard it said, and we talk about this with our new believers here at Evangel, that Jesus comes and he actually makes the standard impossible for us to achieve on our own.
Yeah, because it's not rules.
Right.
See, religion is always rules. Like, yeah, if you just do this thing, you'll earn your way of God. But Christianity is something totally different in the sense that God comes to us and buys our pardon through him dying on the cross for us. It's like crazy.
It's relationship. It's relationship. It's relationship, not rules.
Well, Jeffrey Dahmer, he said he knew the rules.
Yeah.
And it didn't change anything.
Yep.
And it wasn't the rules of prison that changed Jeffrey Dahmer. Right. It deterred him, yes, but it didn't change his heart. In the same way, my heart isn't changed by rules.
Right.
You know, do the right thing, do the right thing. No, it's impossible for, the Bible says, for me to do the right thing because of my sin nature, because of my proclivity to go and put myself at the center of the world and say, I know right and wrong. God, you don't know anything.
Yeah.
We all do that, the Bible says. And religion says, oh, you can earn your way back by following the rules.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can tell you that we don't follow the rules, even if we have information.
Yeah.
Like, right. Look at a packet of cigarettes. And I'm not picking on you smokers. We love you. But it does say on there it's going to give you cancer.
Yeah.
And you still are sucking on one of those things.
Straightforward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It tells you that information doesn't change a person.
Right.
And that is the work of God in their lives. That is the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives.
Yeah. One of the things that I loved in the portion of that book, and I feel like it's wrong recording a podcast about this and saying, yeah, I read part of the book, but we can fill in details here. But in Roy Ratcliffe's book, that pastor, he talks about this reality, and we see this in scripture too, that he says the truth always finds a way into the light.
Hmm.
And he's talking about this in relation to what he experienced in conversation with Jeffrey Dahmer, that when he finally got caught, the circumstance, I'm not going to get into the circumstances of how that happened, but it was almost like he was relieved.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to stop hiding. I'm sure he, you know, I think he describes being scared, but also relieved.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be hiding anymore. I'm going to be who I am and deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets into like language that we see in 1 John around the light coming into the darkness. And Jesus is the light who comes into our dark world. And, you know, this is something too related to like recovery. We do recovery ministry here at Evangel. And we talk about rock bottom.
Mm.
Experiences, you know, so if you're an alcoholic, you reach rock bottom when things, you can't deny that things are out of control and unmanageable and something forces you to take action. That's kind of a rock bottom moment. And I think you could look at Jeffrey Dahmer's experience and say, I think his conversion in prison probably had a lot to do with a rock bottom kind of experience.
Yeah.
Like part of what happens with rock bottom for someone in recovery is you can't hide anymore. your addiction or your sin or whatever. It's out there.
I think we all do things. This is what I think is in it. We all do. We all know that we sin.
Yeah.
But we all justify why we're sinning, right? So a couple of nights ago, I woke up.
Oh, is this confession time?
Yeah, this is confession
time. Okay, good. Just between me and you.
Yeah, just between me and you. And I was looking out in outside of our bedroom window, you can see the stars. And I was looking at those and I was like, God, what does it mean to seek you? I don't even... Like, I was a little bit like, I was like, God, I want to seek you. I want to know you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I'm like, how does, like, I don't under, and I'm still stuck on this question of, like, how do you change a man's heart?
Yeah.
And so I get up that day and life is going fairly well. And something happens actually here at work and it kind of sets me off.
Yeah.
And I spoke too harshly. And I went, that's not what I wanted to do. I'm sorry. You know, and that's not what I meant by that. I'm sorry type of thing. It was like almost immediately. And then, so then I'm walking away from that conversation and our building is 78,000 square feet of fun. And so I have a long walk to where I'm going next. And it hits me. Because what I was really saying in that is, oh, that's not who I really am.
Yeah.
And then this passage of scripture in Matthew, I think it's chapter 15, he says, do you not realize that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated, but the things that come from your mouth come from your heart, and these are the things that defile a man. And I went, oh, that is who I am.
Yeah. Huh.
That is who I am. That is what is seated in my heart. And God has to change that. I can't change that on my own. I can't do it. We even have sayings that people can't change, right?
Like, yeah, right.
Once a cheater, always a cheater.
Can't teach an old dog new tricks.
Right. Like, It is a supernatural thing done by the Holy Spirit. When you say yes to Jesus, the Bible says that he actually comes into your life and he starts to change you. That's the good work that he's accomplishing in you, is to make you into the goodness of Christ.
Yep.
I was like, oh, man, that is me, God. And it was this moment of confession. It was like, God, I'm sorry. Like, change that in me.
Yeah.
But it was a release, because the light had, it came into the darkness of my own heart. And it wasn't like you would see this situation, you were like, ah, whatever. No, that is who I am. Like, I was angry and frustrated over something, and it came out of my mouth. What I say is, like, you know, I can look pretty good on the outside. Mm-hmm. Because the superintendent he's on duty most of the time, right?
Yeah, right.
But once the superintendent goes off duty, the filter leaves, and that is actually who I am.
I think of it as my PR.
Yeah.
My PR guy, he's pretty good.
Yeah.
When people are watching, you know? Yeah.
Once in a while, he gets off in something. But that is who you are. But that is the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, changing those things. And man, that is like, I'm powerless to change it. As I was walking back, I'm powerless to change this. God, this is yours.
Yeah.
And releasing. But it was light coming in, truth revealing. That's who you are, dude. Own it, confess it, and let me change it.
Yeah.
And that, I think that's part of recovery too, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think it's a part of the Christian life.
Well, that's where I was going to go next is, you know, that we don't do these plugs every time we record, but this is part of what we're trying to be as a community of Christ followers at Evangel Community Church. We recognize that we are people who are in the process of transformation.
Yep.
And we are carriers of the good news that transformation is possible.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, we're a Bible-believing church. We believe that the scripture is there for us to know who God is. It's informational about the nature of this world, the reality of this world, and we should read it. But it's not just to read it. It's the power of the Holy Spirit to change us.
Let it change us.
Because it can't. The Word of God is the tool. The Holy Spirit is the worker of transformation.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how we kind of say it around here is, man, you should be reading your Bible, but I have to be open to, if you've said yes to Jesus, he said, hey, I'm giving you my Spirit. I'm giving you this counselor, and he's going to be awesome. He's going to be with you wherever you go.
Yeah.
If Jesus was here with us right now, I just said this to somebody. I'm like, that'd be horrible. just because there's like 2.4 billion Christians.
Right.
And if you got an hour meeting with everybody, we would get one meeting, and if you doubled them up, so 1 billion people, let's just say roughly, that's like 144,000 years, we'd get one meeting. So of us would get a meeting.
Sounds great.
Yeah. But not, you are always, God's always with you. He's always, always there. And it is holy ground, not at a destination, but holy ground is anytime you turn your face toward him.
That's right.
And that's the beauty of the Christian story, is God is with us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we encourage this often. If you're not a part of a church, find a church. We'd love to have you with us at Evangel. If you don't have a place to go, we meet at 9:30 and 11 a.m. on Sunday mornings. It'd be great to have you with us. Well, this has been Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use. You can find past episodes of our podcast at evangelup.org, or you can just search Evangel Houghton anywhere that you get your podcasts. And if you have ideas for topics you'd like to hear us talk about, or if you would like more information about Evangel or anything that we've talked about, you can email me, john@evangelup.org. Until next time. This is John. Sitting across from me is Pastor Levi. We'll see you next time.